Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org. Welcome back to Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Janine and Naomi, and we have the amazing Amy Woolsey with us again. We talked last time about kind of the should I stay or should I go, kind of some of the questions, the fears, and the things to unpack when we're kind of discovering what we want to do and the process of making that decision. And so today we wanted to kind of gear this towards maybe some of you who have made that decision and you have chose divorce, and maybe what the other end of this decision looks like, some of the decisions that we face, and how to kind of navigate things on the other end of divorce. So thank you, Amy, for coming and continuing this conversation with us. We really appreciate your insight and your experience.
Oh, absolutely. You're so kind. Absolutely.
I think one of the first things, once you've made the decision to divorce, is how is that going to be told to everyone? Do you make a Facebook post, or do you change your status, or, you know, something nonchalant, or do you just... And I think probably it's different for everybody, but, or do you just let it be?
So, like, I think it's different for everybody. And so what I would just encourage you to do is, again, get really clear on your thoughts about that. So for example, are you trying to make this announcement for everybody else? Are you trying to make this announcement in a way that manages everyone else's emotions around your news of divorce? What is your purpose here? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to change your status on social media to stick it to your ex, or make a point, or you know what I mean? Like, what is your motive? What is your thought behind this? And that's where I would start. And I think that if most of us get clear with that thought, and we bring it back to what's in our control bubble, what we actually have power over, meaning I'm not going to worry about what other people think and feel about my divorce, then it's probably nothing. Yeah. Because I'm going to save my energy to get through hell.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm not going to worry about managing other people's emotions. I have to manage mine. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I love that. That's kind of my stance. We're just going to keep it quiet and just go on our own way. And if somebody asks, then if I feel like I need to, I can share. But
yeah, I mean, I've had a client who they both decided to wait until they actually filed and then they told family. I knew someone who sent an email out once she decided. She sent an email out just to family and then waited a little while longer until she filed to tell close friends. So, I mean, it's just, and she had her own reasons behind that. Again, I would strongly recommend you not do anything to try and manage someone else's emotions or thoughts about it.
Right. So you got to really get clear on your motivation.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I guess speaking from experience, your experience, are there mistakes that you would want to maybe warn others about that you might make along the way of this divorce process?
Okay, that is a question that is going to be a weird answer, but no, because I think again that feeds into the fear of getting it wrong. Mhm. And I don't, again, think that there's a right or wrong way to do this. It's messy and hard no matter what way. Okay. Again, I think that we're trying to look for a way that relieves some pain and make this painless, and it's just not possible. So it's leaning into the pain. It's accepting that it's going to be hard and painful, and that is okay. It doesn't mean that this decision is wrong, and it doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. It means that this is hard. Mm-hmm. And so no, there's nothing that I would say I did wrong or would do over. And I like to, again, look at my past and choose what I want to think about my past and how I want to view that. I would have loved to have, I really would have, and I'm not just saying this, like it, I really would have loved to have a coach or someone trained and has been through this to consult with and guide. My parents were amazing, but they don't know anything about divorce. And, you know, people had opinions and thoughts that felt overwhelming to sift through. So I really wish I would have had this resource to, whether it's, well, both of it, I think a resource to work with someone like a divorce coach or someone to help me, let's, you know, a therapist that's maybe even trained in this. And like the Worth program has. The Worth program actually has a divorce support group with other women going through this. And so that would have been really nice to have.
Tell us what that looked like for you.
Oh, just so that I can stay emotionally regulated. And, you know, my emotions through that, like I look back and I was all over the place. All over the place. I had such a hard time holding on to my power. My poor dad was just constantly like trying to scrape me up, and my mom, but scrape me up off the floor because I just was a wreck. And so I think that finding some safe people who get it, who aren't going to judge, who will help guide you so that you can stay emotionally regulated, meaning help you stay very clear in awareness and in the reality and in the present where you have access to your power. That's what I would probably recommend. I wish that I would have had that.
If you wanted to, how would somebody go about getting involved with a divorce group in Worth?
You can go to lifechangingservices.com/Worth and apply there, and you'll get an intake. You'll have an appointment to meet with, I believe it's Marin, and she is amazing and awesome. And I would just start there, meet with her. She'll get a little bit about your story, and you'll go into what we call a phase one group. And you're going to learn amazing tools on how to heal and recover, but you'll get put into a divorce support group. And we've got amazing coaches and therapists to help with that, that will just keep you emotionally regulated. And also with the support group aspect, you're going to not feel alone, right? I believe that if you are moving more towards divorce and less recovery towards, you know, like marriage, then we like to move you towards the divorce group only because it can tend to be triggering for women in a group where they're trying to make it work, having a woman in there who's moving more towards the opposite direction. So we kind of like to try and keep you where you're comfortable and where other women can relate. That doesn't mean that you can't move back, right? So like everyone at Worth is so amazing to work with. And, you know, the director, Lana Gorn, she's remarkable. We just want you to feel comfortable where you're at. And we also have the job to make sure that other women are comfortable in the group as well. So hope that answered your question, but yeah.
Oh, I love this. This is so helpful.
There's a place for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for making that clear. The divorce groups are a great place to find support. And I just wanted to ask this question too. When you were going through this, you talked about not having a support group. So you had never been to any kind, you hadn't done any healing before you made this decision.
Nope, I didn't.
Okay. So I imagine that's going to look a little bit different for, like, example, for somebody who's been working in the Worth program and who has done some healing and who's done some work, mm-hmm. that perhaps they have worked through some healing and they're in a better position to be able to move forward in a healthy direction if they're choosing divorce, mm-hmm. and be able to work through some of those fears. So for you, this process of healing after divorce, what does that look like?
Well, and honestly, I think that to your point, like, yes, we can do some work before. But when you're still in an unhealthy situation, I still don't know how, like, there's not this like complete healing, right? I think that if they're still unhealthy in the relationship and you move forward to divorce, you're still going to have to do healing. It's going to happen no matter what. But after you get divorced, the healing looks like probably what a lot of the listeners have already heard, but it comes down to you connecting with you, you learning to see yourself, get to know yourself, love yourself. Working through that healing process is a beautiful journey. It really is a beautiful journey. It's starting to ask yourself questions that you haven't asked in a long time, or maybe ever. Like, what do I want? What kind of experience do I want to have in my life? What do I like? What do I even like to do? What do I don't like to do? You know, just really getting to know yourself again and building that relationship with yourself first. I loved dating myself, loved it. I think that is just such a beautiful way to get to know you. And so it's literally taking yourself on a date. It's, where do I want to go eat? What do I want to go do? And doing it, and even dressing up for it if you want to, you know, but doing these things for yourself that you like to do. And so my goal was to work up to going to a restaurant, like a nicer restaurant. I had to work up to that. That was way scary for me. And I was freaking out. I'm like, there's no way. But that was something I wanted to overcome and do, because that was, for me, my way of showing up for myself fiercely. And I wanted to just do things for myself that I, you know, showed up like this. I showed up for myself this way. And that was one of them. And so I started off by taking myself to a baseball game. And so sitting alone at a baseball game at first felt silly and stupid and like, what am I doing? This is ridiculous, or I'm going to be bored. And I love it. To this day, I still love it. Like, going to a baseball game alone is the best. Then I moved up to a restaurant, and then I moved up to going to the restaurant that I had in mind that I would take myself to go to. And I loved every minute of it. And so, yeah, dating yourself is a great way to start when you find yourself single. I think, again, it's doing this thought work. It's really getting over these thoughts that your brain is offering you that thinks it's trying to help and spare you some pain. For example, this fear of being alone. That word alone freaks us out, right? But there's a difference between being alone and lonely.
Right.
So what does alone mean to you? What is your brain making alone mean right now? Let's just see that. And then you get to make alone mean whatever you want. Being alone is a circumstance, and you get to think about that however you want. So what would you like to feel about being alone? And what do you want to think to create that emotion? And so that's peaceful. That's what I help women do. Yeah. Or empowered or strong or capable. Yeah. Like, these are the things that they want to feel. And so we have to start by just practicing thinking differently about that circumstance of being alone. And when women step into it, like, it takes, you know, some of my clients take a little bit longer, and there's no right or wrong way to do this. But once they all step into that power, and they choose to reframe alone for themselves, they are on fire. They just light up, and they are doing the coolest things. I love it. I love it.
Well, it's one of those things, like, even now, like, I struggle to, like, instead of going and sitting at a restaurant, I'd rather order food and go eat it alone at home. Or going to a movie, even going to a movie by yourself, that can be hard. And just, you know, and maybe that's because of my thoughts, right? Like, thinking that if I go to a movie, I need to go with someone, you know, or.
Yeah. So why do you think you need to go to movies with someone? Well, because if someone sees me sitting there alone, then they're going to think that I'm a loser. Okay. Well, why, you know, or what if, okay, so what if someone thinks you're a loser? Why is that a bad thing? Maybe we can own being a loser.
Yeah. And when I think about it, I think for me, it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know that it's so much what other people are thinking about me, but it's more like, there's nobody to share this experience with where you can, like, oh, and that part, unless they've, you know, experience the movie with you or something.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing to, like, dive into your thoughts. Like, what are your thoughts telling you that, you know, that you can change and make it okay to go to a movie by yourself or to go sit at a restaurant and eat by yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's powerful. It's so powerful. Again, one of my favorite things to do and what I do as a coach is help women see their power, help women step into their power. And our power is in our thoughts and our feelings. And when we start to be more aware of what our brain is offering us and see it, then we can get curious about why it's offering that to us. And like I said before, drop any of the blame or that victim thinking or the judgment or shame. And just, yeah, this is what my brain's offering me. It thinks that I can't enjoy the movie unless I can share that experience with someone else. That's interesting. Is that true? No. I totally enjoy this movie and love it by myself.
Yeah.
And it's just practicing that thought. And that first time you go, it might feel weird and uncomfortable, but you just get practicing and keep practicing.
I know. I have a new goal. Now I'm going to go to a movie by myself.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing.
Oh, I could go to a movie by myself. No problem. It's the eating alone can be awkward. I've done it before and it, you know, it's just, I'm not completely comfortable with it. There's a little bit of, you know, anxiety that comes up with it, but I can do it.
Okay, so here's where I start. I started going to Panera Bread and I just brought a book. And I brought a book and I went to Panera and I just sat in a booth and I read my book and people watched and read my book and people watched by myself and it was fabulous. Maybe go and bring just like a notebook, like go to these, you know, cafe places and bring a notebook and just write. And you're sitting there eating and you're writing. Just start there.
With something to do.
Oh, I'm totally going to do that.
I love it. I love it so much.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of anxiety, I would imagine, around communicating with an ex. So can you help us unpack and navigate through that piece of divorce?
Okay. This one is one that's hard because it never goes away.
Yeah. Especially if you have children.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have children, it's a tough one. So we've got, again, different situations, right? So for those women who are leaving abusive situations, then what I would suggest, what I find works the best, is to get very clear on what you are legally responsible to communicate and start there. And then find a way to communicate that feels safe for you. Maybe that's email, maybe that's texting, whatever that looks like. And maybe for some of you who are in extreme situations, so for a while mine was, you have to email my lawyer in order to communicate with me. That was not only to just calm me down because I was just experiencing such trauma every time I saw a text message or a phone call or he showed up. But I also had so much getting it wrong in my answer to him. I felt like I had to answer and I was in panic mode about how to answer and I was stressing over what to say. And it was just the experience I was having with that was sucking my life. And so it was worth the money to say, you know what? I've got to calm down here. I've got to get some space, email my lawyer. And then I didn't worry about getting anything wrong or missing something. For me, I needed that because I was in massive trauma and triggers nonstop. So that would be an extreme way to communicate, right?
Is there maybe a less expensive option where you need a third party?
Just saying, you know, well, I would recommend not using, like one of my clients was like, well, I'll just use my dad or my mom. That is going to wear out your family member and create a rift between you and your family member. So I would recommend not doing that. It's worth the money if you are in that extreme of a situation. It doesn't have to be forever, but it's going to give your brain enough time to calm down and see what really is important and you what you have to communicate and what you don't. Because what I find is this fear of, but if I don't respond, then I'm going to get in trouble. And it's usually I'm worried I'm going to lose my kids if I don't respond or if I don't do what he says or if I don't. And so we want to eliminate that fear. I personally found that to be extremely helpful. The next level would be email. And you make a folder in your email box where his email goes straight to that folder. So when you go to look at your email every day, you're not going to see his name pop up and trigger you. You're going to set a time every day or twice a day. And you can even let him know, I check my emails once a day. Do not give him the time. I check my emails once a day. Otherwise, he'll send you like 10 that time, right? Check my emails once a day and I'll respond within 24 hours. So if you need something from me quickly, then like I need you to think ahead, dude, basically what we're saying, right? And then you can do it that way. If you do feel comfortable texting, then that's fine. Text. Then what I would recommend is keeping the responses very, very simple. Like no emotions, no feelings, like very simple, factual responses. Remember, they've lost the right to your emotions. So you don't need to share what you feel with this person anymore. It's very business. We need to move into a business transaction. And that's why I would say get very clear with what your divorce says and understand from your lawyer before you leave what you legally are responsible to communicate. And I would stick with that for a good chunk of time to set the precedence that this, I'm not yours anymore. You can't jerk me around anymore. You can't emotionally abuse me anymore. Because what I find is women are still trying, they're still in that emotional abuse. They're still getting played back and forth. And now you're divorced and you're still going through hell. And it's like, you don't have to be, you're divorced. So it's rewiring the brain. And this is one way for you to give yourself the boundary of, I am limiting only to legal things and that's it. And I know everyone listening is probably who are maybe in this situation. Yeah, but this. And I'm going to keep pushing back and challenging a little bit because things that we think we have to know or communicate, you really don't. Or you're still trying to solve and take care of him and do his work for him. So, but he needs to come and pick up the swim gear because he's going to take him. And so I have to go back and he can go buy his own swim gear for the kids, right? Like, you don't need to be taking care of all these things anymore. So give yourself some grace to that takes some time to like shift when you've been married. But I think having this very strict communication boundary for yourself will help that shift.
Yeah. I love boundaries.
Oh, yes.
And I would also say that using your lawyer for a therapist is probably not going to be very beneficial for you financially. Find someone else to work your emotional stuff.
No. Oh, you're going to have emotional issues through it. Just find someone else. A therapist is cheaper. A coach is cheaper. Yeah, you want to, a lot of women go into divorce and make divorce an emotional event, and it's a business transaction. We need to shift from that emotional state to looking at this as business because, and for some of you, war. And I say that in all honesty, I think a lot of women are going to war over this fight for your freedom and your faith and your children. And so for those of you who are listening, who are in the LDS faith, then I would highly recommend opening up the war chapters in the Book of Mormon and looking at strategy and noticing how we can actually get inspiration on how to strategize when we're fighting for freedom and our faith, values, right? And our children. And I think that's a worthy war. And I got some really cool inspiration through the war chapters of the Book of Mormon there. But you can't look at it like an emotional thing anymore. You know, well, he did this and it hurt me because he said this in court. Oh, no, we can't go there anymore.
Yeah, love that. Do you have any last thoughts on this process post decision of divorce?
I do. I think another really big topic here is children and helping your children navigate this process in a healthy way. For those of you who have children in the home still, I cannot stress enough how important it is to get whatever help you can to pay for therapy for your children through this. Sometimes we use our kids as our therapists, and that's not helpful. Sometimes we are trying to solve for our children's negative emotion, and you can't. And what I want to offer you is that your children are going to feel negative emotion, and that's okay. They will either way. Your kids are going to feel negative emotion whether you stay or whether you leave, because it's part of their earth life experience too. And we as moms want to protect our kids from feeling it, and it's actually hurting our children because now they're not learning how to feel in their bodies what that emotion is and learning how to process it, because we're trying to make it go away. And in some ways, we're giving them a message inadvertently, but we're giving them a message that it's not okay to feel whatever emotion that they are feeling. I would definitely do some work around your thoughts about your kids through this experience. And, you know, even your thoughts about your kids going to their dad's house, right? We want to fight because we don't want them to leave and go to their dad's. And so that's a big, big, big hot spot, especially when the parent, we feel like the parent is either abusive or just not healthy. So now we've got all these fears about how our kids are going to be taken care of or not taken care of, and what they're going to pick up and learn and be exposed to. And again, and I know this is hard. I know this is hard. And so take it, write it down, and let your brain just marinate this. But you cannot solve for their negative emotions. You cannot keep them from experiencing the negative part of life. Negative isn't bad, right? We all came here to experience both, and so did our children. And what you're doing by divorcing and getting out of an unhealthy situation is you are now giving your children an opportunity to see both life experiences. You're providing them a home that is safe. You're providing them a healing home. And when they go to their dad's house, whatever that dynamic is, they get to make their own decisions and have their own thoughts about that. Nothing you do can control that. So what you can control is the environment that you provide for them in your healing home. And that's what I would focus on. I would get out of his home and his bubble, because you're not going to control that. It doesn't matter if he has alcohol everywhere, if he has women coming in. That is not something you can control. So unless they are being physically abused, unfortunately, that is the only reason why court would step in. And I hate it, and I get it, and that's a whole other conversation. But until that happens, it is so hard. Oh my gosh, so hard to wrap our head around our children in that environment. But the thought that has saved me was that God's got them. When I don't have them, God's got them. And I held on to my power and my covenants to call upon that power and blessing and know that when they are out of my control and my sight, my care as a mom, God has them. And I had to rely on God. And now God was my partner in helping me raise these kids. And so he's got that other set of eyes on them when I don't. And I had to just remind myself of that over and over. And that's what got me through. And I am so grateful and proud of myself for providing my kids a healing home, a place where they can thrive, a place where they can see the different life experiences, and then choose for themselves what experience they want to have in their life. Because they have and always have had that choice. So that is so hard to wrap your head around. I get it, but I would spend some time just marinating that a little bit.
I absolutely love that. Yeah, thank you. Children is definitely a point of fear, especially post-divorce. Yeah. So really appreciate your words, your strength, your example. And I hope that everybody listening, if you're in this situation, that you've heard something today that has been helpful for you and that has given you a little bit more direction. And if you are in the situation and you are wanting some direction, you can, like Amy talked about earlier, go to lifechangingservices.org and join a divorce group. You can also go to Choose Recovery and find Amy and other coaches there, as well as, and you can also go to lifecoachingwithamy.com and connect with Amy. So we will include the links in the show notes for you as well. So if you are in this place, you can find resources that will help kind of get you the support that you need as you work through the process. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Amy, so much for coming on and sharing all of your experience.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You all are awesome. I love you.
And we will see you all next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.